Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast, recorded June 21st, 2020. This week's sermon is by Frank Donato.
Well, welcome. We're glad that you've tuned in today. Hey, we've got some great news. First of all, I'm standing here in the auditorium and we're taping the message here in the auditorium because starting next week, June 28th, we were going to be providing two services here inside, one at 9 o'clock and one at 10:30. Now, we'll be opening up the church for those two services, and we'll also be having a parking lot service earlier in the morning. But we wanted to make that announcement. So what you'll be experiencing when you walk through the doors, it's we want you to experience basically a touchless service. So when you walk in the door, you won't be handed any bulletins or anything like that. You'll go directly to a table right there by the door and pick up a communion cup. It kind of looks like a little creamer cup, and on the top of it is the communion bread, and in it is the communion juice. And you hold that in the readiness as we have communion towards the end of every service. And so you can pick one of those up. We won't be passing communion then. We won't be passing the offering. We'll be having offering boxes that you can put your offering in as you leave. And so we wanted to provide those two services. We'll have signs up. We'll be practicing the 6-foot rule. Also, we're going to not have any children's ministry for the summer until further notice, and no student ministry during those hours. But we will provide activity packets. And so parents with children at home, you can take the packet and bring it in and keep your kids occupied during the service. So again, it's next weekend, two services in this room, 9 and 10:30. So as we regather now, you're going to have three options. You can still stay at home and listen to the message and have your worship at home is like you're probably listening now. You keep on doing that. If you feel comfortable, by all means, keep doing that. We're also going to be continuing in our parking lot services, but it'll be at 8 o'clock. And the reason is it's starting to get hot more quickly in the summer months, and so we're going to make it earlier at 8 o'clock, and you keep coming to that. And then we can start our two services here at 9 and 10:30. So we are looking forward. As far as masks go, masks are optional for the worship attender. And so be praying for us. We need to start someplace, and I think it's going to be a great weekend. And again, that's June 28th. Well, we've been looking at the book of Colossians for these few weeks this summer. And as you open up the book of Colossians, it just reminds us how Jesus is important and how Jesus is important as we include him in our lives, because that's our mission statement, isn't it? That we pursue God for the benefit of others. So we've been pursuing God and learning more about Jesus as we read through the book of Colossians, and we're quickly discovering the depth of who Jesus is. And so we do that so we can be the benefit of others as we reflect Christ living in our lives. And maybe you're working on someone that you want to introduce to Jesus in your life also. And we hope that everybody is just having a connection with someone, and maybe you're trying to bring them a little bit closer to the Lord. You know, what I find is if I want to share Jesus with someone, this is a good place to start. You can either walk through the book of John, but I like Colossians because it's all right there in the whole book of Colossians of who Jesus is. And maybe somebody you've been talking with, they don't believe in Jesus, or they think Jesus is religion, whatever. You can just start walking through the scriptures with them in the verses. And when there's a topic that hits, just put life on pause and unpack that for them, the significance of Jesus. So that's what we've been doing as we review Colossians. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, we learn a lot of interesting things about Jesus. First of all, we learn that Jesus is God in the flesh, as it says in verse 15. We also learn that Jesus is the creator of all things, verse 16. And Jesus is the supreme over all creation, that Jesus is the head of the church, that Jesus is our hope for eternal life, as it says in verse 18 of chapter 1. And then we also learn that Jesus sustains everything and Jesus holds all things together. Isn't that the good news that you and I need to hear during the times of COVID-19? That Christ Jesus created all things and He holds all things and He's going to hold your life together. Well, then we crossed over into Colossians 2, and Paul writes, this is my goal for writing the letter, he says. My goal is so that you will be encouraged as you grow deeper and you learn more about Christ as you read these words. He says, my goal is that you start to know the mystery of God. And as we continue in Colossians chapter 2, we see that Jesus rules with divine authority, and yet He identifies with our human weakness. And so Jesus has this perfect balance between His highest qualifications and still His understanding of what it means when we walk through life, because He's been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. So when we go to verse 9, we see the mystery of Christ. And this is a great conversation that you can start with someone if they totally don't believe that Jesus is God. He says in verse 9, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lies in bodily form." Now, deity is a church word. The word deity means He is God, that Jesus is God. And He came in bodily form. So Jesus is God, yet He came and He lived as man. Now, we also learn that God and Jesus has all authority. And so we find ourselves in verse 10. It says, Jesus is the head over every power and authority. And the Christians needed to hear that because they were persecuted by the Romans during this time. And they weren't persecuted because they believed Jesus was a God, because there were a whole ton of gods in the Roman time of living and the Roman philosophy and the Roman thinking of the time. There were many gods. The reason Christians were persecuted was Jesus is the only God and all other gods are false. And so this is why these words are so powerful. Ultimately, Jesus has the authority over all mankind. And right now, we bump shoulders with a lot of people at work and our friends and everyone who don't acknowledge this, who Jesus is. But Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So we also learn an attribute about Jesus here, that He rules with authority. Then as we travel down into chapter 2, Paul turns a corner. And so we know all these things about Jesus, who He is and the authority that He has over mankind and all the earth. And then He turns the corner and we can start to realize that Jesus also relates to us. You see, it becomes personal. Jesus identifies with our humanity, and we can learn here that Jesus identifies with our weaknesses. You see, when we come to Jesus, He understands all the needs of just common people like you and I. Jesus was born in a despised race. He was born as a minority. He grew up in the humblest of towns. For 30 years, He was a carpenter, so He worked with His hands. His hands were calloused. I bet He hit his hammer on His thumb a few times and said some choice words. We don't know, but He understands what it is to be a human, to be an individual that lives life. He had to scrape a living together. He had to work with the stubborn public all the time. So He understands what we go through in life. Jesus also suffered constant criticism from His enemies. He was betrayed by His close friend. He experienced police brutality. He endured disrespect and humiliation. And He went through the most excruciating pain possible. So when we come to Jesus, we come to someone who understands, not just someone up in heaven. Hebrews 4:15 says it this way, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin." So we're learning chapter 1 that Jesus has all divine authority, but now we're starting to see that Jesus can relate to us in our humility. So as we travel down to verse 12 in chapter 2,
we can now learn something else about Jesus, that Jesus defeats our sinful nature. It says in verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, nailing it to the cross. Now notice that Jesus defeats our sinful nature. Now we all have a sinful nature. It never goes away. Some people call it thorns and halos. We all want to do the right thing, and that's what we struggle with. We want to do the right thing. We really want to love people, but how many times we just gravitate towards evil? You know, even within myself, during this COVID season, when I go to Walmart, I don't want to go in because I can't stand people. Jesus not only forgives our past, but it helps also to put off that evil nature that we are all just drawn to. We learn that Jesus performs this spiritual surgery. Now, Paul uses the example of circumcision, and that resonated with the people at the time because circumcision was an identifying mark that the Jews were distinctive people, that they were descendants of Abraham and they belonged to God. But he's saying in the same way, baptism now is a distinctive mark when he wants to defeat our sinful nature. And this is what Kerry talked about last week in this scripture. See, baptism is an outward sign that we belong to God and we're distinctively His people. And when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we become a different person inside. It's called the mystery of Christ. And when we're baptized, we become new again and we're born into a new life. A lot of us know Chris Pratt, he's the going actor right now. He starred in Jurassic World, Guardian of the Galaxies, Avengers, the Legos movies, you know, you name it. He married Katherine Schwarzenegger about a year ago, and both his wife and Chris Pratt are both Christians. And he was interviewed when he gave his life to Jesus. And in the interview, when he was specifically talking about his baptism, he said this. The pastor has said, there was nothing magic in the water, yet as I descended into the depths and rose again, I knew something life-changing was happening, a cleansing inside out. No longer did there seem to be two uncertain, contradictory Chris Pratts, just one immensely happy one. He said, I felt the surge of the Holy Spirit, and afterwards I just cried like a baby, a kind of relief. He goes on to say, since totally submitting to Him through the symbol of water baptism, my heart can't stop singing. I've taken off a lifelong habit of fretting over small things. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act and because one's dignity is just as drenched as one's body. He says, I've discovered a new mission in life. And that's talking about my beliefs. So when you come to Jesus and are baptized in Him, He helps you defeat that spiritual enemy within you, your sinful nature. And folks, that never goes away. Just because you become a Christian and start to follow Him, that will never go away. You will always have a struggle, but now as we're going to be learning, you are now victorious and you can be an overcomer. That's the mystery of Christ. Let's go on to verse 13. We can learn here that Jesus defeats our spiritual deadness. In verse 13 it says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ and He forgave all of your sins. It doesn't say here you were spiritually sick. He says you were dead. And the definition of dead is dead. No respect. You're unsensitive. There's no response. No spiritual stimuli. He says, once you were dead, but now when you come to Christ, He's raised you from the dead and He makes you spiritually alive. Because that's what the evil wants to do, is separate you from the love of God. And that's why Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief comes not only to steal and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And I know some of you, 5 years ago, you had no interest in church. You never even owned a Bible or never even read a Bible, but somehow Jesus has quickened your spirit from the dead. And so now you're spiritually alert. You're sensitive. You want to grow into Him. And a lot of your friends don't understand the change that has happened in you. The changes, Jesus has absolutely defeated the spiritual deadness in you. And you find your friends saying, why are you always so happy? I mean, what a way to start a conversation of why you have such a positive outlook on life now. It's all because of Jesus. In verse 15, we can read that Jesus also defeats our spiritual enemies, Satan and his demons. In verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. See, the Bible reminds us that we all have an enemy. And our enemy is not physical, it's not of flesh and blood, but as it says in Ephesians 6, we struggle. We struggle spiritually against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our public enemy number one is Satan. He's still the ruler over darkness. And that's the power of the message. That's the mystery of Christ. When Christ was nailed to the cross, Satan may have thought he won a big victory. But God took what Satan meant for evil and turned it around for the good, and Jesus triumphs over him at the cross. And when Jesus rose from the dead, it became an instrumental milestone for us that's a forgiveness of the sins of the world. When Jesus came back from the grave, the tomb became a symbol of hope for all mankind. You see, Satan has been defeated at the cross. He's been disarmed. He was humiliated at the cross. Satan is like a football player who's on a team and they're behind 45-0 with 2 minutes left on the clock. There's no way for victory. Yet, you know what he does? He starts to get in a fight. The football player starts getting a fight, and out of frustration, he does damaging things. He tries to do last-minute damage, but his efforts are futile. He's been defeated. The defeat is overwhelming because of the power of Jesus. And then at the last book of the Bible, the end times, Revelation 12:2, says that Satan is filled with fury because he knows that the time is short. And only Jesus can defeat the enemy adversary of this dark world. See, there's always a battle. There still will always be a battle within us. Even when we have Christ in our life, Ephesians 6 said, now we can stand firm against the darkness and temptation. The difference is when Jesus is in our lives is we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. The victory has been won, but there's still spiritual times. You have spiritual darkness. Satan still wants to take you and I out of the game. He wants to injure us, so we come to the point we just throw in the towel. You know, during this COVID season, during these 12 weeks, there's words I've learned that I don't ever want to hear again. Words like COVID-19. Never heard that word before. Or social distancing. Second wave, the phrase flatten the curve, quarantine, Dr. Fauci, stimulus checks, the phrase we're all in this together, masks, follow the science, the new normal. Now, I want to say we're all dealing with difficult issues during this time. A lot of you are unemployed and you feel the stress, you feel the financial challenges. And so we just come to this point and we're all just on edge, and then we watch the news and the media and read social media, and constantly the nation's on edge. Talk about COVID-19, the financial disaster, the unemployment, the riots, the social injustices, and it just puts you on edge. And then the COVID cases reappear again, and it's so real. You know, I come to work every morning and I look across the lawn at the college. 300 yards away, there's a COVID testing area. And so I start thinking, okay, It's not decreasing as we would hoped and prayed it will. And so you have this COVID test scenario. This is what goes through my mind. And you have hundreds of people going over there at the tent every day. And I'm thinking, okay, this is the regional petri dish of COVID-19. I mean, that's what goes through my head. And I think, well, what if there's an easterly wind blowing and I'm going to get it? And you know where your mind goes and all those things, because Satan just starts to attack. He attacks us with anxiety and worry, loneliness, anger, marriage issues arise, and temptations. It's difficult to resist those temptations. You know, we receive a lot of prayer requests during these 12 weeks. I've also had a lot of personal conversations with my friends out in the community, and life is hard. Just during this time, it just seems so unfair, and we're especially vulnerable right now where we're sitting targets for Satan. I just want to share some stories with you. I've changed a few details to protect the people who shared them during this COVID-19 series. I visited with a man that I know. He said, you know, Frank, before all this, I've been sober for 8 years, and I have been going to those meetings, and all my life I've been tempted by alcohol. But he says, you know, these past four weeks, I'm starting to drink again. Because just things are out of control in my life. The jobs of my hour have been cut back, and I'm at home, and I'm bored, and this anxiety wells up. And then I say and think, I can't believe I'm back in the same place that I was 8 years ago. And then there's a story of a woman who shares. She says, my husband and I weren't doing very well in our marriage before COVID-19. Our marriage is just held together by a thread. And then all this hit, and the issues that we had are just magnified. And then you add the financial strain, and my kids at home are constantly at home and fighting in school, and all we do is fight. She says, a couple weeks ago, a guy friend reached out to me on Facebook. And now I find myself secretly going into my car at night and messaging him, and a relationship has formed, and it's just started to accelerate. And I tell myself to stop, but I can't, and I want more. I visited with a young man over at Culver's, and he was talking about the temptation that he has with porn now. He says, you know, I would watch porn like once every couple months. But now, Frank, I'm stuck at home. I'm playing video games all day. I'm binge-watching Netflix, and porn has started to dominate my life. He says, I can't resist the temptation. And Frank, I'm scared. By the time all this is over, I'm afraid I'm going to be completely addicted. There's a story of the mother of three. She's dealing with anger. As she grew up, her mother constantly screamed and yelled at her and all of her siblings. And then when she finally grew up and she found the Lord and she started growing the Lord, she put a stake in the ground and she said, I will never yell at my kids as my mom did. But she said, you know, things have just changed. I promised myself I would never do that. But now these days I'm just so stressed out. I'm so overwhelmed. And you know what? I find taking it out on my kids. I start off the day determined I'm going to stay calm, but by lunch the stress builds and I find myself coming at home and yelling at the kids, and I think, I can't believe I'm doing this to them, but I keep doing it. It's clear, all of us have been struggling with anger and anxiety, and we struggle with this stuff, and we think it was in the past, and it was nailed to the cross, and we think we're going to be okay, but it just starts creeping in, and we never thought it would. That's that old sinful nature. Satan is starting to get a foothold in our lives. I remember growing up, my sister was 4 years older, and I was in junior high, and she was a senior in high school, and I would love to torment my sister. I'd find ways just to make her scream. You know what I mean? Like, she'd be on the phone in her room. I'd go by and flick off the light, and she'd yell, and she'd come after me. And I knew my room was two doors down, and I thought I was fast enough that I could turn off the light. But here comes my sister, ready to just give me a big scratching.
And I get in my bedroom door and I try to shut the door and I can't because she put her foot right there in the door and I knew I was done because she had a foothold. That's what Satan does. He puts a foothold in our lives. And in this season, we're especially vulnerable, especially through isolation. We never anticipated these struggles and we just become more susceptible of the old way of life. And we think, that's what's happening, and I feel overwhelmed. I just want to say, the scriptures say here, Jesus understands. In verse 12, it says, you have faith in the power of God who raised you from the dead. You see, it says the power of God. That's the Greek word there. Power is dynamos. We have the dynamos. The word dynamos means dynamite. That's where we get the English word. We have the power of God. We now, in Jesus, we can stand firm. The battle has been won, and we can be victorious. And then he says there, you're even victorious over death. So I just wanted to call that out, that Christ can help us be overcomers. Well, let's finish the rest of Colossians. Here at towards the end of Colossians chapter 2, Paul warns us that well-meaning believers want to restrict your freedom in Jesus Christ by adding additional man-made rules and all those things. He says in verse 16, therefore, do not let anybody judge you by what you eat or drink. See, there's believers who are always ready to judge you. And they have extra-biblical standards, and Paul says, don't be intimidated by them as you grow in Christ. In verse 18, it says, such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen. Evidently, some people have been revelations about angels and special spiritual revelations. And he says, their unspiritual minds puff up with idle notions. And we experience that sometimes in the philosophies that come in, especially the books that we can read about the end times, and people have special revelations about that, and Jesus just settled it. He says, I don't even know when it is. My Father doesn't. The angels don't even know when it is. We don't know when it is. And then someone has a special revelation, they know what it is. That's why we like to say here at New Hope is, where the Scriptures are silent, we're silent. Where the Scriptures speak, we speak. So he brings the book to a landing here. In verse 20, he says, people are going to say, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And we've all experienced legalistic people. They assume to be and appear to be the most spiritual. They know the Bible a lot better than we do. They've been going to church for a long time, and they have some impressive experiences. But Paul says they've lost connection with Jesus Christ. He says, so don't let legalistic people and legalism creep into your life. Well, I hope as we go here, this can be an encouragement for us to remain in Jesus. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. So in closing, I want to say Jesus knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through. He's won the battle for you. He knows everything about you. He knows the hairs, how many hairs on your head. He knows the thoughts in your heart. He knows your fears. He knows your anxious thoughts. He wants to offer you eternal life and guidance today if we acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. So here's a question I want to ask. Have you ever been immersed? Have you ever really thought about what that means to be identified with Jesus Christ, to be buried in the watery graves of baptism, to arise as Chris Pratt has experienced just the new life that comes in you? Now, as you live your new life, it's not saying you will never have any temptations. You'll have those every day. And the spiritual, the good and the bad will always be struggling in your life. But Jesus is here now. He says He will help you be an overcomer. And that's the great news. Some of you, you just maybe need to talk. You know, it's been frustrating for here at the church. We can't meet with you after the services. We just feel so disconnected. So what I wanted to do is to give you an opportunity. I want you to text me.
I'm going to give you my cell phone number and you can text me and just write the word talk, whatever it is. My number is 641-758-1305. I'll repeat it, 641-758-1305. I would love to talk with you. Maybe during this time, God is awakening the spiritual deadness into you and you understand Jesus at a deeper level. Maybe you need to take that step this week to be baptized. I would love to talk with you about that and what it means and the milestone decision of what that is when you accept Christ in your life and you're baptized into Him. I kind of see it. It would be really cool if you make a decision this week. Our first Sunday that we're open, next Sunday at 9 and 10:30, you're baptized by here. And we can all celebrate in the victory of what Jesus is doing as we pursue God for the benefit of others. Or maybe you just need to just talk to somebody. And Frank, I've been struggling with this, and you'll learn that you're not alone, and we'll pray for you, encourage you. Whatever the reason, just text me and text the word talk and I'll get a hold of you. Well, we're looking forward to finishing off the book of Colossians in these next couple weeks and seeing you here at our two services or at the parking lot or seeing you online. But let's all remember this week that we're to pursue God for the benefit of others. Now we go and be the church wherever we do life. God bless you.